bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Rodney Crimi is the co-founder of Australian Marriage Equality, and he has decided to step down from that organisation. He joins us now. Rodney, good morning.
Oh, hi, Pete. Thanks for having me on, and hello to your esteemed guests.
Hi, Rodney. It's Robert Doyle here. I've got to get this Robert, out early, mate. Hi. Do you know you changed my wife's education?
No, I didn't.
Well, let me tell you how. My wife, Emma, studied law at the University of Tasmania in your early days as an activist, and her law professor in criminal law refused to teach the elements of the criminal code that made same-sex partnership a crime. And Emma's very proud of that. And that was you, mate. I don't know if you know that, that's back in your history, but there you are.
No, I wasn't aware of that, but give her my best. And
I will.
I'm glad I had that positive impact on her education.
You did indeed.
And hello, Rodney. Michael Veitch here. We met several times in lovely Hobart, which I do miss very much. How are you going?
Yes, Michael. It's good to hear your voice. I was going to ask how you've been faring since Hobart.
I miss it. Once it gets into your blood, that little town, you kind of
it doesn't get out, does it?
It doesn't get out easily.
It's a bit like tuberculosis. once you've got it.
I recently read your book on Bass Strait and really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank
You're
you.
The one. you are here with Wally, Tolly, and Stolly. We need to get to a serious subject, Rodney. You've stood down from Australian Marriage Equality. Why?
I've got a conviction that I want to do everything I can to stop the proposed plebiscite on marriage equality going ahead. I don't think it's the right course, and I also don't think it will help us actually achieve marriage equality. Now, Australian Marriage Equality has that policy too. It's against the plebiscite, but it has to negotiate with the government, particularly on what terms a plebiscite what terms are offered to the public in terms of, you know, whether there'll be funding, whether there'll be compulsory voting, what the question will be, that kind of thing. And it's harder for, I think it'll be harder for AME to negotiate with the government if it has someone at its head like me who's out there saying no plebiscite under any circumstances. So I decided and AME decided that it was best if I stepped out of that role and worked with others who were trying to stop that plebiscite.
Who are those others? Rodney, just before you go on, you sort of aligned with another two organisations. Who are they?
Yes, so Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, very strongly against plebiscite. Just Equal, a new national LGBTI advocacy group, also against, and Rainbow Families in Sydney and Melbourne, also very strongly against. Now, some people have interpreted that as a split, and it's really important to emphasise that it's not. We're all working towards the same goal, which is to achieve marriage equality. And if plebiscite does become inevitable, if legislation is passed in the Parliament, we do have to go to a national vote, then everyone will swing behind making sure we win that vote. But for now, we think that there's a window of opportunity to try and stop that happening and to try and refocus Parliament on what it should be doing, which is debating, voting and passing this legislation.
Robert, you thought this is a bit of there's a potential hiccup in this, aren't
you? Yeah, I mean, Rodney, I no one would credit your, sorry, would doubt your credentials. The thing that I worry about slightly is if a plebiscite is inevitable, and you say it's not, I get that, but there's a whole lot of resources that are now going to go into your argument to try to stop it. And my question would be, you obviously weighed this up pretty carefully. Wouldn't those resources have been better spent turning people to how that plebiscite should turn out? Because remember what happened with the referendum. We got, on the Republic. We got so bound up in the questions and those sorts of things that what we all thought was going to succeed failed miserably. And that would be my concern, that in arguing against the form of the vote, we somehow sort of lose momentum towards the outcome that we want.
No, I understand your point, Robert. I can understand how it seems that way, but I don't think it is. There's a lot of resources that are currently being put into preparing for a plebiscite. There are several staff who've been employed by a new organisation called Australians for Equality, based in Sydney, who are very skilled professionals. They've been out there for several months building networks, building infrastructure, IT infrastructure and all that kind of thing to ensure that if a plebiscite is called, then we're ready for that. And I have full confidence in them. They're doing a great job and I'm right behind them. But there are other groups, like I said, that want to make sure that we've done everything we possibly can to prevent that possibility. We're working closely with the others. There's no gap there. There's no split. We're talking to each other. But everyone recognises that if there is a chance we can stop it, we should do the most we can to maximise that chance. As I explained during the weekend, an article I wrote about this, it's because of the fear, which is a real one, I think, that plebiscite will become a platform for the tiny minority of Australians who are full of hate towards LGBTI people, and that will have negative consequences, particularly on younger and more isolated and vulnerable LGBTI people in the community. We want to prevent that happening. We want to ensure that they're as safe as possible and they don't have to sit in front of the TV week in, week out, watching advertisements that tell them that they're dysfunctional people.
Rodney, what's the path to trying to get it stopped?
The Senate, I think. At the moment, there appears to be a majority in the Senate that opposes a plebiscite. If you take Labor, the Greens, the Xenophon team, and Darren Hinch together, they've all said publicly that they don't support a plebiscite. And I think our job is to ensure that they're as strong on that as possible and that there may be other senators as well who are willing to join that majority.
Rodney, isn't your problem then, Rodney, you might win the battle in the Senate, but equally you might lose it in the House of Representatives? You know, because, I mean, it's not much good having one house. And the other point I'd make, and I've made this one before...
It's got to get... Yeah. It's got to pass the... Upper house, though. I mean,
But if the question is whether we're going to do it at all, the lower house could just block it altogether. And Rodney, by the way, don't get me wrong. Count me in whatever support I can give. I think I was the first conservative politician on the front page of a newspaper to support marriage equality, and I'll do so unequivocally. I think, though, that if you think you can avoid the sort of hate speak and that vile conversation that may happen by avoiding a plebiscite, I don't think that will happen. I think it'll happen anyway, and I think we've got to prepare for that and call it out for what it is when it happens.
I guess the difference, and Robert, I fully acknowledge your strong support for marriage equality for many years now, and the fact that you did lead the centre-right in Australia towards a better position on this, and I take my hat off to you for that. Your point about whether we will avoid it or not, yes, that will, even if there's a vote in Parliament on this, as I would much prefer, there will be some of that, but it won't have the stage that it would if there was a plebiscite, particularly if there is government funding for the yes and no cases. So the government will be effectively funding, if there is funding, and I don't want there to be, but if there is, funding, putting millions of dollars into a campaign that tells young LGBTI people that they're not worthwhile, that they're second class.
It also tells their friends that their mates aren't worthwhile, and that's where I have some issues as well. Robert, Rodney, I just want to ask Robert a question while you're on the phone, because I think there's something that it's something I've been meaning to ask for a while. How can you, as a conservative politician that has a very high profile within our community, how can you assist in us lobbying the government to ditch this plebiscite idea? Or are you, in fact, a supporter of the idea?
Look, let me think about that. I'd always be prepared to represent the views of the community, as you know, even if they're not particularly my own.
Mm.
But, you know, look, I'd rather bend all my efforts to stopping the sort of stuff that Rodney's talking about. You'd hope that the mates and the families and the sensible people would actually say to young people, you know, look, have a look at this sort of behaviour. Have a look at these black hearts and what they are saying, and let's call them for what they are. But I really respect Rodney's view. I think he's been an outstanding spokesperson, and this is a, if I may say, Rodney, this is a decision of great integrity. But I think your early message to say there's no split in the outcome that we want, regardless of the means by which we wish to pursue it. And I think you expressed that very eloquently.
There's obviously a big split in conservative ranks, though.
Oh, yes.
Oh, absolutely. It must be huge. And it really absolutely. Must be huge.
Rodney, I just want to finish. We've got a text message that says, I have much more respect for Rodney Croom. He has shown such integrity in this decision in his outstanding career, a great Australian. And that's 317 from South Yarra. So I think that's a very nice way for us to acknowledge what you've done. We've got to go and move on with the program. But I think, Rodney, I'm going to echo that. I think this has taken an extraordinary amount of courage to make the decision, and it does show a great deal of integrity that you are willing to continue to fight for so many of us who are 100% behind you in trying to stop this divisive plebiscite before it happens. So on behalf of us as a team at Saturday Magazine, congratulations.
Thanks, Pete, and thanks, Robert and Michael. Lovely to talk.
Good to have your company.
See you, Rodney.
Rodney Croom, one of the... And I think that line that says he's a great Australian. Another one says, sadly, the Nasties will use the old adage of freedom of speech, which I think causes me some concern as well, because it's possible they will.
And remember, Rodney doesn't like to lose.
No.
And he doesn't lose much.
Who does?
He does. He does it with certain
He plays the long game too, doesn't he?
He certainly does. Yeah. Well, absolutely. Yeah. You know, things don't happen fast down in Tasmania, but he was instrumental in overturning that ridiculous law.
And has been at the forefront of activism in our community for some decades.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.